Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I am the founder of Gear Media Studios, a full-service podcast studio.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with celebrities and entrepreneurs about their stories in the business world.
Now it's time for our interview with Kenny Lang. He is a leadership and scaling coach who believes that most successful businesses are quietly failing at what really matters. He's on a mission to help founders explore their growth without sacrificing their soul, their people, or their purpose. So welcome to the show, Kenny. It's great to have you here. I was really intrigued by your comment about sacrificing your soul. Do you feel like business people sacrifice their soul when they take on a business project?
I think some end up feeling that way. Most of us, when we start a business, we have technical expertise in a particular area, and we're good at doing a thing. And then as we get more clients and time goes on and we figure out, hey, we might actually have a business and be able to eat, which is always an exciting revelation. There's some point where you feel like you're butting up against a ceiling for growth. And you may have aspirations of growing very large, very big, go international, multi-state, whatever it may be. And I think that there's a notion that you're going to have to become someone you're not in order to build the company you want.
And then by becoming somebody that you're not, you're really sacrificing your soul because you're making personal internal sacrifices that you think are necessary to move the business forward. So what do you tell people when they find themselves in that situation?
For a lot of them, it can be just as simple as asking them, who told you you had to make that sacrifice or that you had to do it this way? And they'll go, well, no one, I guess. And that's when I go, okay, so you've developed some advice in your head that you think that the marketplace or the world or the universe or whatever is giving you. And that's the way that you have to be in order to grow a business because you are watching influencers on, Instagram or watching YouTube videos of other successful entrepreneurs. And you see the way that they are. And while you admire and respect them, you're also subtly taking on, oh, that's the way I have to behave. That's the way I have to sell. When in fact, really all you have to do is be the one who can best connect with your customers, your ideal client profile, and serve them the best. And then all the things that you need to do to grow a successful business, however you define success, whether you just want to grow one or actually scale one, and those are two very different strategies, then that's the right way to go instead of saying, well, now I got to copy all these other people. With my first company, I was an accidental marketing agency owner. I just needed to put food on the table and keep a roof over our head. And as I was building, I was like, okay, well, I've been consuming tons of leadership content and those sorts of things. And this is my chance to really try some things out. I think a lot of people start their entrepreneurial journey before they even start their business, right? They start as a dissatisfied employee. They think they could do it better or differently, or maybe they just see the way a boss is leading and say, I have some different ideas on how this should be led. And you want to see if you're right or if you're hallucinating. And so I started my business, and when I felt like I actually had a business going, it wasn't just, oh, I could probably do this and just hold out time until I find a different job that I really like. I started listening. It was like, okay, what are these other agency owners doing? How are they selling? And I was a HubSpot partner, and you may know of that company, and love my time being a HubSpot partner, but I would pay attention to these other larger agencies and what they were doing. And I would talk to some of the owners and they're like, oh, you got to package this way and you got to sell this way. And I would go, oh, okay, I was going to do it this way because this sort of seems to be working. I just want to improve it, but I guess I can try that. And whenever I started going in that direction, it was, as a mentor of mine used to say, it felt like taking a shower with your socks on. Something didn't feel right. It wasn't me. So I was trying to run somebody else's business. And I lost deals because I was trying to price way too high for what I was promising, or the way I organized it was wrong, or just the way I communicated felt wrong. I'd also have people tell me, oh, you gotta organize your people this way and lead them this way and have these sort of meetings. And I was like, I think that there's a better way that's really more human-centered than just trying to squeeze every ounce of performance out of your people. And don't get me wrong, I'm results oriented. I love, you know, being in high performance mode. I'm a chronic overachiever, recovering perfectionist, all those fun things.
So we're with Kenny Lang, a leadership and scaling coach. You can find him at kennylang.com. Kenny, do you work one-on-one with your clients then? How do you work with your clients?
It's usually a combination. I work a lot with senior leadership teams or executive leadership teams, annual strategic planning, quarterly planning, or just working through a difficult situation. And then I usually pair that with one-on-one executive coaching with at least the most senior executive, if not several other of the executives as well.
So what has been like the most challenging leadership situation that you've been in where you've had to coach somebody? And how did it play itself out?
The one that comes to mind first is a client. He was a CEO, and he had recently hired a fractional COO, and they started out really great, that honeymoon period and all that. After about 4 months, they were having a lot of issues, and they said, hey, we're really feeling like we're coming to an impasse. We could use your help. And I said, I'm happy to facilitate the conversation and help you navigate the conflict in a healthy way. They sent me like 2.5-3 hours of recorded meetings. And I happened to be driving to go see another client that's 5 hours away. So I had a little bit of time. But I listened to it, made some notes, and then I met with them the following day. And, you know, I joke with them that it was a bit like marital counseling, which is usually when I meet with the visionary and the operator or the second in command, that's usually the way it feels. And I just drew out like, hey, here's the different stories I'm hearing. You know, what are you believing about him? What are you believing about him? Well, what really is your shared goal? And it took us about 2.5 hours to walk through that conversation to where they got open, they got honest. We were getting into the details. I had to challenge beliefs on both of them. And some of that sometimes can be nerve-wracking when I'm challenging the CEO who signs the check that comes to me. And I have to say, hey, I think you're making a mistake here. And I think you're in the wrong for this. And I think we need to explore that a little bit. And they both ended up thanking me and saying, hey, we love our quarterly sessions, but these one-on-ones and this sort of stuff is actually proving more valuable for us.
So how did they get off track in the first place?
I'm trying to think of the phrase I heard recently, but it's like withheld or unexpressed expectations are planned resentments.
Oh, I like that.
I think that's what had started to happen. I think they had a cursory or surface level understanding of what each other's lanes were and what they were there to do, and then had a bunch of other assumptions that they didn't share with one another in their one-on-ones or in team meetings. And that just continually led to them being at odds with each other, even on live calls in front of clients and other team members. And I think that was the part that really got them off track, was their beliefs about what a CEO does and what a COO does and where their focuses were and who's supposed to take on what. And that's not uncommon, but if you don't say anything, you can't do anything. I try to tell people, like, problems in a business need to be treated like terrorism. If you see something, say something.
I mean, what were some of the assumptions, though? What were the differences in assumptions? Because, these relationships between, say, a CEO and a COO, I mean, it's kind of what the two partners make it, right? I mean, it should be, at the outset, trying to clarify roles and responsibilities, but maybe that didn't happen. I mean, what were some of the things that got them off track?
No, it definitely happened. That was part of my early work. With the CEO was rebuilding their org chart and giving every position in the company a mission, key responsibilities, and KPIs at the weekly, monthly, and quarterly.
And for our listeners who don't know what a KPI, what is a KPI?
KPI is a key performance indicator. So it's an easy way for your people to know they're winning, which is a really dignifying thing you can do for your people, but it also clarifies the expectations of what you're meant to do, how often you're meant to do it, and what the goal is. And it usually is a good way to indicate what future results will be.
And when you're hiring somebody, a professional, to come in at a high level in your company, I just want to ask you this. It just occurred to me. Do you expect them to present you with what they think their KPIs will be for their position in your company?
No.
Oh, you don't. Okay. So you give them...
I mean, they can have their expectations, but the organization has needs of its own. It's not even the needs of what the founder, the CEO thinks. Like, we have to treat the organization almost as a separate person. And that's why I tell people, like, we design, you know, seats, or we say from, we got to move from heads to hats. We design the hat and then we find the heads to fit it. A lot of people mess up when they start designing job functions, job descriptions around an individual. And it never works out 100% of the time. It will mess up your business or your nonprofit or your organization as a whole if you're designing around them. So you say, you know, company X is of this level with these goals and it needs A, B, and C from a COO. And then you interview someone to see if they would match your core values. You know, are they going to be a healthy figure in the company and reinforce the culture, or are they going to detract from it? That's a binary thing. And then are they going to fit? And that's an acronym: fuel, impact, and timeliness. Does it energize them? Can they make significant positive impact? And is it the right time for them to sit in that seat? You know, you don't want a freshly minted CPA being the CFO of a Fortune 500 company.
Definitely maybe not.
Yeah.
So we're with Kenny Lang. He's a leadership and scaling coach. He can be found at KennyLang.com. What are the secrets to scaling a company?
It's actually doing a lot less than you think. And it's almost putting the steps that everybody talks about in business books and online and podcasts and things like that. It's doing certain things in right order. And then understanding how to harness the talents you will need along the way. For instance, if you try to overly process a company early on, you're going to stifle the speed and innovation that's needed to get the rocket off the ground, so to speak. But later on, you can't keep doing things as like, I had an idea and now I've got a brand new initiative. You know, Whitney's got a business and she couldn't just like, I'm driving into work today. I have an entirely new product and I'm going to put it online. I'm going to build it and just ship it. Right. Like early on, that may work. Later on, there probably needs to be a vetting process and some other people involved. And so that's where people getting the steps out of order tends to mess them up. And so within scaling, you've got to be able to move fast and do the right things, but then know when do you transition to doing the things right. And that's where somebody who's a little bit more process oriented comes into play. And then you need somebody who can synergize the different styles, because high flying visionaries, which are typically your founders, they are moving at Mach Jesus with their hair on fire, and processors are putting one foot in front of the other. And those two people can really be at odds. But unless they realize they need each other, the company will never grow past a really complicated stage that they're in and get to scaling.
Is there a lot of simplification that's required in order to scale well? I mean, you mentioned complexity there.
Yeah, complexity sneaks up on you because you're doing things, you're trying to figure out what works. It's really fun. And as a matter of fact, when I'm coaching my clients, I use a life cycle stage model called predictable success. And after you get out of early struggle, you're in the fun stage. You're high growth. It's exciting. You found product market fit. You understand your customers. You're selling left and right. Almost everything you touch turns to gold, but it's just like more, 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 more. And eventually you stop executing at the same level you were. You've had to hire more people. And guess what? People have their own ideas and they like to bring those in. They're not robots. So we're still waiting, you know, Tesla and Boston Dynamics and whoever else to give us robots to do exactly what we wanted them to do, how we wanted them to do it. And so when you take all of that, as sales grow and the company grows, complexity grows. We're naturally complicating beings, and you reach a level to where you go, this isn't fun anymore. We're dropping the ball. Things we used to be amazing at, we're doing really poorly. We're missing deadlines. We're shipping the wrong things to people. Stuff's breaking in the warehouse, like whatever it may be. And then that's when you got to pause and say, okay, I think if we don't slow our decision-making down a little bit, we're going to keep making the same mistakes, and it's actually going to send us spiraling down.
We're with Kenny Lang, a leadership and scaling expert, and you're listening to Passage to Profit. We have to take a commercial break, but we'll be back with more of Mr. Lang shortly. And don't forget to experience more of Passage to Profit by subscribing to us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and YouTube, or subscribing to our podcast anywhere you get your podcast. Just look for the Passage to Profit show on any of these platforms. Stay tuned. We have intellectual property news and secrets of the entrepreneurial mind coming up soon.
Attention investors. This is a simple commercial on the investment value of gold. Gold continues to make new highs. In good markets and in bad markets, you need to have your portfolio balanced with gold. Learn about owning physical gold or getting a gold-backed IRA. Make this simple call right now.
800-653-2073. 800-653-2073. That's 800-653-2073.
Sponsored by Reagan Gold. We're offering a 100% risk-free gold guide. Gold continues to make new highs. And unlike stocks, gold has never been worth zero. You owe it to your nest egg and future to own some physical gold or set up a gold-backed IRA. Call right now for your free report.
800-653-2073. 800-653-2073. That's 800-653-2073.
Sponsored by Reagan Gold.
Do you love going on a cruise, or have you always dreamt on going on the cruise vacation of your life? With dozens of cruise companies, who do you call to find the right vacation and deal for you? Now you can make one phone call and shop all the best deals on every single cruise line in the world. You can't get that by calling one cruise line. We have them all, with experts that know the ins and outs of every cruise ship and can tell you the best cruise for your vacation needs. Our cruise packages start at $149. Plus, we offer free internet, free guest packages, and cash back deals. So now is your chance to book the cruise of your lifetime. Call the cruise hotline right now and shop every single cruise line in the world. Here's the number. 800-577-4742. 800-577-4742. 800-577-4742. That's 800-577-4742.
Now back to Passage to Profit. Once again, Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
And our special guest, Kenny Lang. Kenny has done a lot in his career, and now he's helping people scale their businesses. He has a podcast, How Leaders Think, which warms my heart because I love podcasting. But he also has a trademarked name of a model that he has, Lead to Scale. He has IP around that and how it helps leaders avoid burnout. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Lead to Scale came out of just reflecting on the last, I would say, 15 plus years of leading teams and starting businesses and helping run organizations. And I took a look at all the things that I felt I had gotten right, also gotten wrong, and then just different things I've learned from experts, books, and things like that. And this is not totally unique in this part, but you know, there's essentially three buckets or stages of leadership that we have to pay attention to, which are individual leadership, team leadership, and then organizational leadership. And so that goes lead, grow, and scale, and they're in a flywheel. So one influences the other. And what I find is that if you don't take care of yourself, how do I lead myself and how do I maybe lead one other person? Your effectiveness in leading a team is going to be diminished and it's going to be much more difficult. I think leadership is a full body, full contact sport. And if you aren't doing what you need to do to develop yourself as a leader, then you're just going to be going through the motions and people are not going to gravitate towards following you, right? Like you have to become a leader worth following, which means becoming inwardly sound and others focused, according to some research by Tim Spiker. And so I take people through lead, grow, and scale, but within each of those, there's an inner flywheel of aware, aligned, and accountable. So for each of those big three phases, I take leaders and founders and executives, they have to gain self-awareness. You know, there's a great study from Cornell University that showed self-awareness is the greatest predictor of success in leadership and in business. And once you're aware, then you can align your strategies. But most people want to just start with strategies. Well, if you don't know where you're starting from and you just hop in your car and start driving, like, how do you know where to go if you don't know where you're starting from? And I try to help people avoid building that house of cards. And then finally, we have to be accountable to the actions and the intentions that we have. And that may be through systems. It could be through technology. It could be through another person. And then I follow that same inner flywheel, aware, aligned, and accountable for lead, grow, and scale. So it starts with the leader, and then we work our way into the entirety of the organization. So there's a sequence to it.
So you mentioned self-awareness. So what are some of the things that you do when you're coaching a CEO or a leader to help them gain better self-awareness?
I'm a huge fan of different assessments and diagnostics. As a matter of fact, I've just released my own diagnostic around Lead to Scale. It's totally free, take you maybe 5 minutes, and it'll give you a custom 44-page report. So you can go and check that out at kennylang.com/diagnostic. But one of my favorite tools is using the Enneagram.
What was that? An Enneagram?
The Enneagram. Yes. So it's
I've never heard of that.
How do you spell that?
E-N-N-E-A-G-R-A-M. Ennea. So it basically just means like 9 Enneagram picture. And there are 9 personality archetypes that it describes. It originally started out thousands of years ago as just a verbally passed on between spiritual directors to help them and what they did with the different congregations and communities that they served. But it's since been iterated and updated to include psychiatry, psychology. Honestly, it's probably one of the most accurate ones, assessments. And I'm an assessment junkie, but it targets the motivations of the person, which don't really change once you hit a young adulthood. Behaviors change. And that's why things like DISC and Myers-Briggs and StrengthsFinder, they can be good, but they give you really a snapshot of your behaviors in the moment. They don't really capture what your motivations are. And that's like the iceberg that's underneath the water. That's actually much larger than what you see above. And so they just use the numbers like 1 through 9. For instance, I'm an Enneagram 8. Sometimes called the active controller, sometimes called the challenger, really intense. You have core fears and a worldview. And then what happens, like, what is my path when I want to grow? Like, if I'm growing, how will I know it? If I'm becoming an unhealthy version of myself, what is that going to look like? And that has really, really helped me to be able to catch bad behaviors before, you know, I get carried away. Like, I may deal with anger. Can I sense the trigger before I erupt and yell at somebody, right? Those sort of things are really, you know, grace-giving and helpful. So what I like to say is there are levels of people's health. It's not that they went from a bad person to a good person or anything like that. It's understanding what your darker side is, because we all have a negative or a shadow side, or however you want to talk about it. It's not about eliminate that and just be all good. It's about embracing these parts of yourself. And that's self-awareness. The other is just sort of like trying to be blissfully ignorant.
I do think that Richard has said this for many years, to truly be a good leader, you have to constantly work on yourself. And it's hard to do the deep emotional work. I mean, who wants to look at the bad parts of themselves and say, okay, how can I use these, right?
And that's why I think it's such a gift to have outside, you know, coaches, consultants, people who can hold the mirror up. You know, it's a cliche, but it's a helpful one. A lot of times trying to work on yourself is like trying to read the label from inside the jar. It's really difficult to do that. And having someone that you can trust, that you feel like they're psychological safety, they hold space for you. I joke with a lot of my clients when I get started with them on the one-on-one side of things. I was like, I just want to let you know, it is not unusual for people to cry in the first few sessions. I am not trying to make you cry. I'm not going to be a big fat meanie head. I'm not trying to elicit anything. But if we're getting down to core motivations of your leadership in business and how that shows up, then we may be pressing on something that you would rather leave hidden, or you are just not consciously aware, but it's running in the background. And when it bubbles to the surface, it's probably going to evoke some emotions. I've had people who realize that part of their leadership was being influenced by unresolved grief over their father dying early. And again, you're a whole person. You don't have work Richard, home Richard, and driving and yelling at people in traffic Richard. you're just one Richard. And so I engage the whole person because I know that that's the only way that real progress and transformation is going to happen. And ultimately, as someone who is a service provider, while I love my clients and I care deeply about them as people, I'm being hired to help them drive towards a result and a transformation. And it usually means I'm asking them to take a hard look at themselves first.
That's really great. And I really love that you're doing that because that is, you know, touching those sensitive spots is part of the healing process, which helps us move forward, right? And so we've all got those emotional issues that could benefit from resolution and help us move forward in our lives. So Kenny Lang, a leadership and scaling expert, this has been fascinating. So Kenny, can you tell us where people can find you?
Yeah. As you mentioned, KennyLang.com, great place to start. I've linked up the blog, the diagnostic, the podcast. There's some other free resources there. LinkedIn is a great place to connect with me. It's probably my most active channel, and along with the YouTube channel for the podcast, How Leaders Think. And that's wherever fine podcasts are broadcast.
Awesome. Well, very good. So make sure you check out Kenny Lang and his unique approach to leadership and scaling.
Yeah. And if you liked what he said, just go subscribe to his YouTube channel. Give him another subscriber, right?
There you go.
Can use all the subscribers we can get.
Absolutely.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 38 markets across the United States. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey, our studio assistant Rissakat Busari, and our social media powerhouse Carolina Tabares. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.